Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Sunday service of Free Community Church. This is the fourth Sunday, which we are here both on site and online. So I hope that the bright blue sky out there is actually giving us all a cheer in this brand new Sunday. If you are watching us from home on YouTube, please do remember to click the subscribe button and then thumbs up to like our videos and the notification bell to get notification whenever there's a new video online. So as we come together this Sunday, let us just prepare our hearts with a call to worship. Come in and sit down. You are part of the family.
We are lost and we are found, and we are part of the family.
We know, God, that we who have gathered here are part of the family. But we also know that the family is much bigger still.
There are people we don't understand. There are people we disagree with.
There are people we don't like. There are people who don't like us.
Challenge us, God, to expand our vision of family.
Until we see all of creation as one big family. Amen.
As we enter into a time of worship, please note that those people on site, you are not allowed to sing due to the MCCY regulations, but you are welcome to wave your hands, hum, stand up, kneel, sit down during the time of worship. So let us join the worship team for a time of worship together now.
Thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrows be washed away. Waves of God's mercy as deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrows be washed away in the waves of God's mercy as deep cries out to deep, we sing, come.
You are and all that you are. We are
that you continue to come into our lives, to guide and bless us, now and forevermore. Amen.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Good morning, FCC. I'm here again. Why is that so? It's because how will we go through a Sunday without busting a move, right? So I'm here to actually share with you a few moves for the next song, the next worship song. It's called Every Move I Make. It's really, really simple. Shall I invite you all to stand up, please? And those at home, please stand up. You're not escaping this as well. All right, so the next song, it will start with na 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 na. So you just wave your hands. For the OCD people, you can wave your hands to the right, my left, and just na 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 na. If you're shy, you can just do this. It's fine as well. I'm really shy, so I don't mind doing this with you. Then it goes na na na. So the first verse is every move I make. So you just march on the spot, like the great Singapore workout, if those remember who are my age. So every move I make in you. That's Jesus, so point. And then you make me move, Jesus. Remember the twist back in the 70s, I think? You make me move, Jesus. Yeah, just go down and really grind it. So, and every step I take in you. Then every move I make, it repeats. Every move I make in you. You are my way, Jesus. The same thing. And every step I take, I breathe in you. Okay, so that's first verse. Very simple, right? So, okay, we go on to the chorus. So, waves of mercy. Waves, right, of mercy. Clap at the end. And waves of grace, the other side. Everywhere I look, so try to look for someone, I see your face. Just rest your face on your hands. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Simple, right? So without further ado, one more thing. The very, very shy people, if you guys don't want to bust a move with me and the church, there are shaker eggs that Pauline will hand out to you. So you can shake, other than shaking your body, you can shake the eggs. So just raise your hand if you don't mind a shaker egg. Don't worry, we've sanitized it, so that's all good. All right. Thank you. Those at home, you can take something like a can of beans or something to shake. That's okay as well. Okay, anytime when you're ready, guys. So just shake it off.
Go. Na 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 na. Every move I make, every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy. Waves of mercy. Waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, na 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 na. Every move I make, every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take, I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can I not? Na 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 na. Let's sing it again. Na 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 na. Hey 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 hey. Na 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 na. Let's give God a praise offering.
Great and gracious God, we live in you, the great mystery of our being, which is beyond our understanding, yet revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. You are there underpinning our lives, offering to us all that we need to live well. All too often, we grasp our prosperity and our safety, building walls of self-sufficiency, storing up great resources in the barns of our nation, finding the other and difference to be a threat to us. Help us, O Lord, to find you in the smallest of things and the most ordinary of our experiences. For you are the great source of our being and the power that sustains us through your Holy Spirit. When we search hard for you, we may miss your presence in the everyday. So, help us to look out for you in the face of friend and stranger, in the wonder and beauty of our world, and in the complexity of design, in the creativity of artist and scientist. On this day, when we are drawn together from many backgrounds, and with faith flickering, strong, or with no faith, we thank you that there are times and causes around which we can all rally for the common good. Help us to find that common ground more and to work through our differences. May the example of Jesus, his boundary-crossing life, his open-hearted embrace of all peoples, be the inspiration for our weary and wounded world. In the visions of Isaiah and Revelation, your faithful people have penned the dreams and challenges of our deepest thinkers, our most creative and perceptive voices. So we give thanks for the people who will look to our world and will be the dreamers. We pray for the fixers, for the people who would take the dreams and make them reality. So we hold before you all of our leaders, praying for tenacity, energy, and an open-eyed, open-hearted vision for our communities and the world. God of the cross and the empty tomb, God of the road to Emmaus and the breakfast on the shore, you have shown us in Jesus the way that is beyond death. So hold us in the faith of your future. Help us to rest in the confidence of new light and life, to trust that those we have loved and lost have returned to you, and that our own walk is the way home, where you wait for us in the mystery of eternal life. May our prayers here rise to you like incense. God, our Maker, our Savior, and Sustainer. Amen.
Beautiful name above every Good morning to everyone, those who are physically here in One Commonwealth, and those who are joining us online. And those of you who are new or who have joined us just recently, I want to invite you to take out your phones, which is not usual in the church, because we are using multiple platforms to get you engaged in the sermon. So we are using this platform called Menti, and you go to menti.com and you use the code 2183012, and you can log on to, and you can see the slides as well as some of the questions that we post later, and you can key in your answers into your phone, and then the answers will appear on my screen, and we'll interact in a virtual way. And I think that it creates more participation in some ways, and we can engage in some reflection as well. Today's sermon is a little heavier, and some of the questions might require you to dive a little deeper. I want to invite you to go as deep as you want to, and if you are not comfortable in answering the questions, that's okay. Right? I want to put that up front. So, will you join me in prayer? God, as we come together, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. And as we continue with the sermon series, A Better Normal, and I hope that as we look towards 2021, because we want to get over with 2020 as quickly as we can, I hope that we learn to equip ourselves for the better normal. And today I want to talk about forgiveness and reconciliation. And strangely, it's rather appropriate given the news this morning of the US elections, the results of it. And I think forgiveness and reconciliation will be something very important in that context. And I wonder about you, but the past few days have felt like the Easter weekend, right? We had disappointment when the results first came out. And somehow over the past few days, suddenly today is a day of celebration, almost like resurrection. At least that's for me. I guess for some people it might be the opposite. Forgiveness and reconciliation are important aspects of the Christian faith. And I want to first talk about forgiveness. Many of us are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Some of us memorized it by heart. I have. It is the prayer that Jesus taught in the Gospels, both in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. And we have been taught to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." There are two aspects to forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer: seeking forgiveness and offering forgiveness. Jesus didn't just teach us to ask for forgiveness from God, but also to forgive those who may have sinned against us. And seeking forgiveness and offering forgiveness are intricately connected to one another. It is when we have been forgiven that we learn how to forgive. I want to ask you, what stories of forgiveness do you remember from the Bible? Right? I think that there are many stories of forgiveness throughout the Bible, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And I want you to think about, what do you remember? Which story is on top of your mind when we talk about forgiveness? And you can key it in. And I hope, yes, I can see, oh, wow, that's very prodigal son, Joseph forgiving his brothers, right, who sold him to slavery. Wow, Joseph pops up many times. The cross itself is about forgiveness. Peter's betrayal of Jesus. David, I guess this is David seeking forgiveness for committing murder, adultery. We have Judas. We have, someone already gave the answer, right, where David committed adultery and then murder. Robber on the cross with Jesus. Jesus forgives him. Is there a way I can shift up, Gary? No, I couldn't shift up to the rest of the results, right? Sorry. So Thank you for responding to that. And I see that no one named the story that I'm going to talk about. Because in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told the parable of the unforgiving servant. When Peter asked him, "Lord, if a brother sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you 70 times 7 times, right? And a lot of people will start thinking, well, what does this really mean? Peter actually thought he was generous because in the Jewish tradition, you are required to forgive 3 times. After that, you know, strike, you're out, right? But Peter thought that by offering to say, "I'll forgive 7 times, that he's doing much better. But Jesus tells him not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Some translations translate it as 77 times, but that's, I think the more accurate translation was 70 times 7 times. Basically, Jesus says, forgive every time, right? And Jesus begins to tell the parable of the unforgiving servant. He says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like the king who wants to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." I want to pause here because often when we read it, we don't read it in its context, right? 10,000 talents, we don't know how to frame that. One talent is equal to 6,000 denarii. So one denarii is roughly about a day's wage. So 10,000 talents is 10,000 times 6,000 denarii, which is 60 million denarii. It's 60 million working days, right? And if you think about one talent, it's about probably 20 years of pay. Basically, this guy owes the king many, many lifetimes. That's a lot of money. But since he did not have the means to repay, his master commanded that he be sold, along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything." Well, I really wonder how he's going to repay many, many lifetimes of pay. And the master of that slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. 100, huh? Basically about 3 months' pay, 100 days of pay. And he seized him and began to choke him and saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he would pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had happened. Then summoning him, his master said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his master, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he would repay all that was owed him. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." We may interpret this parable to mean that God will not show us mercy unless we show others mercy. I think that is misunderstanding what Jesus is trying to teach us. God's mercy isn't transactional. Mercy is transformational. Right? Rather, we are to be transformed through mercy. When we have been shown mercy, we are to be transformed so that we show others mercy as well. It's not a transaction. It's not that I have to show you mercy so that I receive mercy. When we are transformed by the forgiveness, then we will be able to forgive from the heart. That's the core of the message. And I think that when we interpret this as if we don't forgive others, we will not be forgiven, we are still based on the transactional idea, the transactional concepts that pervades our world. But I think the economy of God is very different from that. And perhaps we need to move and allow ourselves to be transformed. I want you to invite you to think about these two aspects of forgiveness. Is there something that you have done or not done that you feel that you should seek forgiveness for? And is there anything that someone has done to you or not done that you need to offer forgiveness? And do you want to commit to taking some action to seek forgiveness or offer forgiveness? And you might want to take some time to key in your reflections, or you might want to just reflect, because you might encounter, or this might bring up feelings or emotions or experiences that might be uncomfortable, unpleasant, or even something that you buried a long time ago. And here I want to point out that forgiving someone does not mean that we accept, condone, or enable the actions that have caused hurt or harm. Forgiveness can be one of the most difficult things to do, especially when we have been deeply hurt by someone else, and especially someone we love. Yet, it is forgiveness that will help us let go and heal. Forgiveness doesn't require the other person to apologize. Forgiveness comes from us, from a place of that we find that kind of peace to let go, right? I see two people responding, yes, my sister. And another person said, yes, but I'm not sure how. When the wounds are deep and painful, it is not easy to forgive. And I'm not going to tell you that after this sermon, you'll be able to forgive someone. It's not so simple. But I'm going to offer you some things that might be helpful to begin that process of working through how to let go, how to forgive. I should forgive those who did not treat me well. Yes, the people that I've let down. I suppose this is about people asking for forgiveness, right? And one of the things that I learned most was this, that when we hold on to how people hurt us or harmed us, it doesn't affect the other person. It affects us. It causes us to remain bitter, to remain focused on the wrongdoing, and we become victims all over again. It is when we forgive that we are able to move forward away from the past, and we no longer suffer again and again and again. I remember reading this book by the Buddhist Zen monk Thich Nhat Hanh, that he says that when your house is on fire, you don't chase after the person who set your house on fire. You put the fire out first. And that is working through our attitude of forgiveness as well. And some people have added more. I'm fearful when I seek forgiveness and it is not given, and I get hurt again. The question is, if you seek forgiveness and forgiveness is not given, right? It is the person who has not forgiven you that's holding on in some ways. Seeking forgiveness does transform you, whether the forgiveness is given or not, right? Because you have shown that you're willing to repent, and hopefully also willing to change. God is love, and love is God. Forgiveness is an opportunity to express God's love. Exactly. And I do see what I want to see myself. Right? Someone has said, ask for forgiveness from myself. And sometimes we are the people who are most harsh on ourselves. And our unwillingness to forgive ourselves actually also translates to us not willing to forgive other people. And we become very angry and bitter inside. And I hope that through this journey of forgiving ourselves, forgiving other people, that we grow and transform. But forgiveness is not the end point that we are seeking. From forgiveness, we want to move to reconciliation. And I want to ask you, what is the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? Because these are very important concepts within the Christian faith, and I think even outside the Christian faith, but they are very different. Right? What's the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? They are related, but they're certainly not the same. So, you know, if you can key in your answers, and those of you can key in, at home can also key in your answers. To make amends, reconciliation requires both parties. Forgiveness is the prerequisite for reconciliation. Exactly. Making peace with the person you forgive or who forgive you, that's reconciliation. Forgiveness can be unilateral, but reconciliation requires change from the other. A way for the relationship to move forward. Reconciliation is two-way. Reconciliation is wholeness and shalom. You can forgive, but not reconcile. Forgiveness can be done unilaterally, reconciliation cannot. And I think that a lot of you hit the jackpot, right? You may forgive someone, but that does not mean that you have to reconcile with them. And while we often hope for relationships to be restored, there are times the harm and the hurt caused is so great that reconciliation is not possible. But forgiveness can happen without reconciliation. Knowing this too, and knowing the difference, helps us to forgive. Because that's not forcing you to forgive someone and allow this person back into your life. Because this person might have hurt you very deeply. On the other hand, when we seek reconciliation, we hope for reconciliation. If we don't go through the process of asking forgiveness and offering forgiveness, there can be no reconciliation. So I want to ask you, again, like the other question, what story of reconciliation from the Bible do you remember? Right? There are many stories of reconciliation. Something that was broken and put back together. Right? So what story of reconciliation from the Bible do you remember? The prodigal son again. And this time I'm not going to the prodigal son because that parable has been so close to our hearts that we have been preaching on it many times. Joseph and his brothers, yes. Joseph again. Jacob and Esau. Peter's betrayal. Paul and the other disciples. Thank you for your responses. The story that came to my mind was Esau and Jacob. Because Jacob tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing instead of giving it to Esau. And Esau said in Genesis chapter 27, verse 36, "This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he has taken my blessing." And Esau wanted to kill Jacob because of this. And Rebekah, their mother, told Jacob to flee to her brother Laban to escape Esau's wrath. Esau was so angry, he was going to kill his brother. But what happened when they met again? Years later, when they met again, Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. And he threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Quite a happy ending, right? Sort of. Because if you read it more carefully, it wasn't a total reconciliation, right? Because Jacob didn't fully trust that Esau had forgiven him. I see Esau's action as coming from forgiveness. Because Esau went to meet Jacob and his whole entourage with 400 men. And Jacob was defenseless, right? Esau could have killed him there and then, but he did not. Rather, he embraced his brother who tricked, deceived, and cheated him of his inheritance. But Jacob, nah, he did not. So, I think I missed the page. No, I didn't. When Jacob and Esau met, Esau actually offered to accompany Jacob. But Jacob did not accept that offer. He said, you know, I have children, I have my wives, and you know, and all the cattle and all that. We move very slowly. You go home first, and I will catch you up, right? I'll catch up with you. And then Esau offered, why don't I leave some of my men with you? Probably to protect him from robbers, right? And Esau rejected. Jacob rejected Esau again. And finally, Jacob didn't go to Esau. He took a long detour and he went elsewhere because he did not trust. He did not trust. And this reconciliation looks like just something on the surface. And it allows us to think about reconciliation from a different perspective. It doesn't only rely on the person who has been harmed or hurt or victimized to offer the forgiveness. The one being forgiven, right, the one who has been offered forgiveness must also be vulnerable. It requires us to rebuild the relationship. So in the better normal, I want you to think about, not to think about reconciliation. And I want to ask you the question, how do we reconcile and restore relationship with people we have hurt or harmed? How do we reconcile and restore relationship with the people we have hurt or harmed? I hope that we don't do it like Jacob. Reading the story, I thought that he was more interested in preserving his own life for survival and even protecting his children in some ways, right? Treat them to a meal. Both parties have to acknowledge the harm and the hurt done, communication and listening to each other. Make no excuses. And this is sort of like the collective wisdom, right, from all of you, whether here or online. I want to see if there are more answers popping up, because take action. Make the other person aware of the hurt. Ask, are both ready to move on? I think that's a very insightful idea, right? Ask if both are ready. Sometimes when we are hurt, we need some time to recover before we can move forward. And if it's when we are not ready, it will be immature and a wrong time to seek reconciliation. Right? Have a mediator if we cannot do it alone, yes? Be honest with them and share your true feelings, regret, sorry, and apology. Account for mistakes. Eat humble pie. Take time to pray to God for the right time to reconcile. And don't make myself the victim. Apologize sincerely and make amends and restitution. Acknowledge the hurt, harm done. Acknowledge the impact, regardless of intention. I think that's very important. And a lot of people, when they apologize and try to reconcile, they say, I didn't mean it. But sometimes, and very often, right, even though we don't mean it, the harm and the hurt has been done. And asking for forgiveness is not about whether you had the intention or not, but acknowledging the harm and the hurt. Pray for restoration and for open doors to reconnect. Sincere admission of fault and humbly seek forgiveness. And this is one perspective, right? Jacob may have asked for forgiveness as Esau approached. He fell down and bowed 7 times, but he did not embark on the task of rebuilding trust or restoring the relationship further. The reconciliation is superficial, to say the least. He rejected Esau's offer to accompany him. He rejected Esau's offer to even leave some men with him. And he lied about going to Seir, where Esau lived, and went to Sukkoth instead. And instead of, you know, rebuilding the trust, Jacob lied again. The path of reconciliation requires vulnerability. Vulnerability to acknowledge wrongdoing, vulnerability to ask for forgiveness, vulnerability to work on restoring relationship and rebuilding trust. Because on the path of reconciliation, we may be hurt again. And we need to recognize, even if we are willing to seek forgiveness and reconciliation, the other person may not want it. And this path to reconciliation requires vulnerability on both sides. It requires both sides to be vulnerable. If there's no vulnerability, it's not going to work. And I want to invite you to take a moment to reflect. Is there someone you would like to seek reconciliation with? And what is stopping you from doing so? Is there someone you'd like to seek reconciliation with? And what is stopping you from doing so? This may be a painful question to think about, because oftentimes when relationships are broken, we move on. It's the easier thing to do. We lose friends, we make new ones. But I think that we need to move away from a very consumerist way of approaching life, but to look at the heart of our faith. It's about shalom. Shalom is not just peace without conflict, but shalom is wholeness, restoration of that wholeness. And how do we restore that wholeness if we don't seek reconciliation? And that is why we are told, when we are supposed to pray, right, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And some of the responses come back, yes, but I have no courage. Well, sometimes it's not about courage, right? Sometimes it's a willingness to be vulnerable. When we say, sorry, I've done something wrong, it is allowing us to let go of our ego, our pride, to step up. And that willingness to be vulnerable is all opening up the opportunity to reconnect, to restore, and in a way, resurrect the relationship. Yes, but I'm not sure how. put the past in the past. That's how a lot of us cope, right? I'll be the first one to tell you that, no, I have not seek reconciliation with every single person in my life. But I've done for quite a few people that I wanted to reconcile with. Not easy, but something I need to... Because the person is unrepentant and is ready to cause harm again. Yes, then that's not reconciliation. But I hope that you've forgiven this unrepentant person. There's a difference. Knowing that you cannot proceed with reconciliation doesn't mean that you do not forgive. Right? What if the other person isn't willing? Well, then, you know, we do the forgiveness part. Much easier to set the relationship aside and working through it. That's how we deal with life, isn't it? Instead of fixing stuff, we throw it away and then we buy a new thing. But relationships aren't just things. Relationships are how we connect with one another. And this connection, right, is reflective of our connection with God as well. They are interconnected. Yes, my ex, fear of rejection of my friendship. Well, reconciliation doesn't necessarily mean that, and when you want to reconcile with someone, that person might not be willing to reconcile, but that person might be willing to forgive, right? So the question is that if you would like to seek reconciliation, great. But what if you reach out and, you know, that person's not willing to reconcile? Well, that does mean that you can still ask for forgiveness, right? Forgiveness without the reconciliation. Yes, but not seeking because I don't think the person is ready to see reality. Yes, fear of rejection again, as the past few times the door remained closed from the other party. Well, continue on knocking. Continue on knocking on that door. Because that's being vulnerable again and again. And I think that through that, you are transformed as well. Right? Well, some relationships aren't worth it. Well, you have to discern for yourself the paths that you need to take and what you seek to reconcile and what you seek to forgive. I hope that I've given you some things to think about. To begin thinking about so we can make it into an action. Because that's how the new normal, the better normal comes about. It doesn't come about just sitting and reflecting. Sitting and reflecting begins that journey, but the better normal comes when we take action. And that's why we have conceptualized this sermon series. But now that I've talked about forgiveness and reconciliation on a personal level, there's also forgiveness and reconciliation on a societal level. And I want to address that. Pope Francis, in his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, addressed his opposition to the capital punishment. He grounds it not only in mercy, perhaps his most characteristic spiritual theme, but also in opposition to revenge. He writes, fear and resentment can easily lead to viewing punishment in a vindictive and even cruel way. And rather than as a part of a process of healing and reintegration into society, he writes, St. John Paul II stated clearly and firmly that the death penalty is inadequate from a moral standpoint, and no longer necessary from that of penal justice. There can be no stepping back from this position. Today, we state clearly that the death penalty is inadmissible, and the Church is firmly committed to calling for its abolition worldwide. The opposite of forgiveness is revenge. Forgiveness is about giving someone another chance. And the death penalty is exactly opposite that. Once you execute someone, that person doesn't have any more chances. And I know that amongst us, some of us might hold different opinions on the death penalty, right? And that's okay. I'm not going to coerce all of you to be aligned with that. But when we support an idea or ideology or concept, we need to think about how it aligns with our values as Christians, how it aligns with our faith. And I really appreciate Pope Francis' statement, right, that's echoed again and again, because punishing someone is about revenge. And God's justice is about restoration. The death penalty does not restore what has already been done. It does not bring restoration. And we have heard many stories of victims or victims' families who have not, after the execution of the perpetrator or the murderer, have not found the release, have not found the shalom or the peace of mind after that. And many, interestingly, right, forgave the people who have hurt them. And it is through that path that they found peace. And in some of the stories and the interviews that have been done, and I've shown a video before, that a victim of a shooting actually forgave the person who shot her, and they became friends. And when he was finally released, right, from prison 30 years later, was it 30 or 20 years later? I cannot remember that story. They became close friends, and she became the person who helped him reintegrate back into society. Because he had been living in prison all this while, he did not even know how to drive. And that is restoration. And that is restorative justice. For those of you old enough who have watched Dead Man Walking, everybody looks a bit stunned, right? Dead Man Walking by Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn, right? It's a film about someone on the death row. And Susan Sarandon acted as the nun who befriended him and journeyed with him, right? And that nun is Sister Helen Prejean. And she had been a longtime opponent of capital punishment. And her work helped to change things. And this is what she said. I rejoice in Pope Francis' ringing proclamation that the inviolable dignity of all human life, even the life of murderers, and I'm heartened by the Church's unequivocal opposition to government's use of the death penalty in all instances. In killing chambers, I've seen close up the torture and suffering of human beings, rendered defenseless and killed by the state, their lives stripped of all dignity. I rejoice that now this clarity of church teaching will help end this unspeakable suffering and spark the gospel of Jesus to be lived in its fullness, restoration of human life, not humiliation, torture, and execution. We need to recognize, this is what happens when your finger touches something that you're not supposed to on technology. I need to fast. What? Oh, you're doing it for me? Okay, thanks. Thank you. While they are adjusting the slides for me here. Okay. Anyway, you'll take over the controller. We need to recognize on a communal level, mercy and reconciliation requires us to oppose the death penalty. And Sister Prejean notes, devotional assent is not enough unless we heed the Holy Father's commitment to work for abolition of the death penalty. His words, however inspiring, will remain just that. Words on a page, stillborn, an annunciation, but no incarnation. In us, may these words live. And while some of you support the death penalty, some of you might be undecided about it. And I want you to think about it from how we understand mercy, forgiveness, and reconciliation. I believe that it is forgiveness that will break the cycle of violence and hate that continue because of the death penalty. Because the death penalty is based on vengeance and not love. Whether on a personal or a communal level, only forgiveness can set us free. Because forgiveness comes from love. So as we step into a better normal, may we live out forgiveness in our lives. May we live out reconciliation, both on a personal and a societal level. May we live out what we are commanded to pray every day. Because Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is meant to be something we do every single day. And as a practice for a better normal, I want to invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And preferably maybe at night, as you reflect on the day that has passed, and reflect on the people that you might need to forgive, and reflect on the people that you might need to ask forgiveness from, so that we grow into better people for a better normal. Amen.
As we meditate on what was just shared, I want to invite you to God's table of grace as we celebrate Holy Communion together. This table is open to us all. And today, as we go into this time of Holy Communion, I want to invite you to respond verbally. I know we've been talking about not being able to sing during worship, but we're able to speak. And I think it's in speaking, in putting sound into the words, that somehow it sinks deeper down for us. And so I want to invite you to participate in Holy Communion this morning with me, to read the parts where we say all, okay? We gather each Sunday at this table. And even though at this time we may not all be physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space, because God's love transcends all boundaries. And so for those of you who are joining us online, it transcends all boundaries. We may not be able to prepare the meal for you if you're attending online, but please go ahead and prepare some elements that will help you to make this a meaningful and symbolic time. So this table recognizes no boundaries, and here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Together,
God of mercy and justice, be with us.
We lift our hearts to you,
not because we have to.
Not because you're supposed to, but because we respond to your unconditional love,
because it feels good to know we are loved. As long as there have been people to tell them, our ancestors in faith have shared stories of your mercy,
of how you gave food to the poor, clothes to the naked, and shelter for the lost.
And as long as there have been people to tell them, our ancestors in faith have shared stories of your mercy,
of how you gave freedom to the enslaved,
opportunity to the outcast,
and peace to the war-torn.
You acted with both mercy and justice, rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt,
providing them with manna when they were hungry.
And your people acted with both mercy and justice, like the prophets who cried out to care for the widow and orphan and foreigner,
and those who provided food, shelter, and community.
You have shared your mercy and justice with us, not only as gifts to be received from you, but as gifts that we are to share with the world. We see this gift most clearly in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us what a life of mercy and justice looked like.
In mercy he gave food to the hungry.
In justice,
he broke social custom
and shared tables with the powerful and the lowly at once.
In mercy, he cared for the sick. In justice, he broke religious custom and healed on the Sabbath. In mercy, he had compassion for the poor. In justice, he spoke out against the empire that held him in poverty. In mercy, he washed his disciples' feet. In justice, he died without protest to expose a corrupt system.
On a night, he was handed over to the unjust system that killed him. He protested by sharing a meal with his friends. There, he took bread, gave thanks for God's mercy in providing it, shared God's mercy by giving it to his friends, then called them to remember the injustice of his broken body every time they ate bread. And after they ate, he took the cup, gave thanks for God's mercy in providing it, shared God's mercy by giving it to his friends, then called them to remember the injustice of his spilled blood every time they drank wine. But that wasn't all.
God's mercy and justice burst forth when Jesus died.
And his resurrection gave hope to all those who hunger for mercy and thirst for justice. God will always equip those who seek to share mercy and justice.
Even death cannot stop God's incredible grace.
So, we ask God's Holy Spirit to be poured out on this meal, on these gifts of mercy, bread and juice, that we may remember Jesus' ministry of mercy and justice, that these gifts of mercy may become for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may show mercy and do justice, not just for ourselves, but for the transformation of the world. And now, may I invite the stewards to come forward to help distribute the elements to those who are on site. The stewards will be going around and will be handing you the elements, so just wait. Do not reach out for it. This is just to make sure that we are complying with safety regulations and guidelines, okay? Let us partake the elements with gratefulness. Can I invite you to stand as we pray this communion prayer together? Together.
God, through this meal, we pray that your grace would empower us to do justice, to offer mercy, and to do so with humility.
You have given us your Son as an example. And your Holy Spirit as advocate. Give us the courage to do your work in the world.
Amen. Thank you, and please be seated.
Please hold on to the communion with you, and then you may dispose of it as you leave this premise. Thank you, Pastor Mayor, for the sermon. As I was listening to it and calculating how many times is 70 times 7, which is 490 times, to forgive one person, and that is more than the 365 days in a year. So that's one person, if you count yourself. So that's like 490 times 490 times 490 times 490. So indeed, forgiveness, it is a spiritual practice that we need to practice as part of our Christian faith. And forgiveness indeed require us to be vulnerable, and vulnerability in the past has always been viewed as a weakness, but in the past few years, we do know that being vulnerable requires a lot more strength than we imagine. So I think as we enter into this season, in the final 2 months of the year, let us do consider strengthening ourselves, becoming stronger people, and practice forgiveness as part of our faith. I would like to welcome everyone again to the Sunday service of Free Community Church, where Free stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. This is the giving segment of the service. There are various means for you to give to FCC for us to function. You may give by PayNow using these two QR codes. One is for the FCC General Fund and one is for the FCC Building Fund. I think some of your chairs in front might still have the stickers for this PayNow code, so you may scan on them to actually donate via PayNow. We also have another means to give via credit card, which is through the Freecom Church Give.Asia platform. Give.Asia is actually a platform that supports charities in terms of receiving the givings. So in this platform, you may donate to FCC and you may also donate to Give.Asia. That is not compulsory. And please also indicate your name and email to receive an email receipt from us. And of course, you can set your privacy settings that only our FCC staff will know. For those people on site, if you'd like to choose to give via cash donation into our collection bags, please do just raise your hands so that our stewards can go to you and collect your giving to us. I like to say that in the FCC, giving is not compulsory but mandatory. But if you have heard this term before, you know that this is actually not what I meant. I think FCC, we don't like to play with words, but we do know that FCC, for it to function, for this space to exist, for the programs to be run, your generous financial support is really very, very important to us. And as we enter into the last couple of weeks of 2020, you know that as a church, we always try to use this period to catch up with the deficits in our funds. So do really consider giving to us, and we really appreciate that all that you have given to us so that we may function and we may continue to work towards God's vision of FCC in Singapore and in the world, wherever we can do our part. And as we plan for the programs in 2021, we are also thinking of what we want to do for next year. And we do hope to continue to see all of you with us, to support us in all our programs. Let's just give thanks for the offering. God, in that we give thanks to you for your faithfulness through the years. And each and every year, as you bring us through and we look back, we give thanks to you for all that you have given us. And may we continue to ask for wisdom, for discipline, for courage to continue to do what you call us to do. That is to reach out to those people who are vulnerable, to those who are discriminated in the society, and to those who have not have enough. We give thanks to you for all the blessings that you've showered upon us individually and as a church. And we continue to ask that you may keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds open, that we may continue to do your work. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now this is the announcement segment of the Sunday service. So we have the usual announcement. If you are new to FCC and you'd like to us to keep in touch with you, do leave your details at fcc.la/fccwelcome. If you look through some of our slides from last week onwards, we have actually changed our short link URL from aka.ms to fcc.la. So do just keep in mind, fcc.la, fcc.la, very, very Singaporean, but do keep in mind that that is our URL, our short link, that a lot of our forms and our links to the different rooms will be on this site. So usually our newcomers meeting is actually at the end of the month, but given that there's a lot of activities in this last 2 months of 2020, the newcomers meeting will be on the first Sunday of December. If you're interested, please do remember to send an email to info@freecomchurch.org, because this is not just open to anyone or whatever. We need you to register your interest so that we may keep this a safe group and a safe group for all who participates. During this pandemic period, if you still require pastoral support, our pastors are still at work giving counseling sessions. So reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org. For this period of time, every time after the Sunday service, we actually have got two rooms, the prayer room and the live discussion room. Today will actually be the very, very last Sunday which we are holding these two rooms, because as we migrate to having more and more people coming on site, we have to rethink of how to actually interact with these people on site, the people on site, and also we are also thinking of how do we change this format to interact with people who are at home joining us digitally. So if you are interested to join us, please do join us at fcc.live/fcclifeprayer for the prayer room, or fcc.la/fcclifediscussion for the discussion after service. So with the termination of these two rooms, our prayer meeting, our midweek prayer meeting on Wednesday is still going on, and there will probably be a room for us to, a means for us to actually gather together in the middle of the week to pray for each other and to request for prayers. So the link is fcc.la/fccprays. We have also started our FCC WhatsApp broadcast list, where you can have the most immediate and newest information. So if you're interested to join the FCC broadcast list, please WhatsApp your number to 9366-3818 and then save this contact into your contact list. So all information will actually be blasted through the FCC WhatsApp broadcast list, including the link to actually join this service on site. Please note that your number will not be saved or be given away to other people, and then it will only be kept by the staff maintaining this FCC broadcast list. FCC is now on YouTube Live. Yay! Only the people in the hive are very excited because we made a lot of effort to go on YouTube Live. 2020, it has been a very strange year. I mean, for some of us, 2020 is like nothing has changed. Life has come to a standstill. But for FCC, I will have to say that 2020 has been a very, very challenging year because every few Sundays, things starts to change. We went from fully remote digital to half on-site. Then we went from Teams to YouTube. It's like every Sunday, every few Sundays, something's changed. So indeed, FCC is now on YouTube Live. You can catch the service live on Sundays. And anytime you would like to review through any of the service or you want to watch through past services, if you miss them, you can watch it anytime also. Please remember to subscribe to the FCC Singapore channel. And then subscribe, click thumbs up to like our videos, click on the bell to receive new notifications whenever there's a new video coming up. As you can see, as we move towards a hybrid of digital and on-site service, we actually really do need a lot of hands on the production ministry. There are many, many streams under the production ministry. We need to improve our slides. We need to have people controlling the service on Sundays. We need to have people controlling the sound, the mics, the lights, the cameras. So there are many, many areas which you can volunteer with us. So if you are interested to join the FCC production service, drop us an email at info@freecomchurch.org and then somebody will reach out to you. Last but not least, we put out this slide every Sunday because we would like to hear from you. Every single one of your feedback will be heard by us on every Monday because we actually have a post-service discussion, post-mortem, to actually figure out what we did right, what we did wrong, which areas we can improve. So do send us your feedback and then we'll take into account your feedback and then figure out how to improve our service so that you may have a better experience every Sunday. Now let us just join the worship team for the last song.
Upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, an ocean's deep, my faith. Yeah.
Receive the benediction. Dear God, we choose to forgive because we were first forgiven. We choose to reconcile because you took the first step to reconcile with us. So help us, God, to go out with courage, with love, with grace, that we may learn what it means to forgive and to reconcile with you, with ourselves, and with one another. So now go. Go as God's people of shalom, of reconciliation, forgiveness, and restoration, of healing and of hope into this world that requires and desires it so much. May your transformation lead to the transformation of the world. Go, and God's peace go with you, now and always. Amen.
Service is now over. Thank you for joining us today. Do remember, for those people online who'd like to join us for the last time digitally, the last two rooms, the post-prayer and the live discussion room. Have a great Sunday ahead and a great week ahead. Bye-bye. I'm waiting for the hive to cut us off. Okay, we are cut off. For those people that are on site, please do...